Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hopefully he gets it. I think he tapped, though, did he not?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, he tapped.
All right.
Sorry, I'm reading Christian McCaffrey news. Looks like he's out for week 10.
He is?
Yeah.
It's our first podcast, and I don't know what we're calling it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, I'll figure out a title later, a Clickbait Willie. But either way, you're here right now listening to it.
I think that's what it should be called, Clickbait Willie.
Yeah, thank you for clicking on the podcast. Welcome to the podcast world.
It's our first podcast, huh?
Well, yeah, together it is.
It's just like we're talking to each other with headphones on.
Yeah, I know. It's weird for you because you like to do live stuff. But, you know, this should be a whole new world for you, Spongo. Welcome to it. It's not that bad.
I like it.
You and I always shoot the shit anyways off the air. This is just like, you know, what we're doing right now.
Yeah, it's like we grab ass and shoot the shit just rolling around here. Why not?
You know, do it on the podcast. You know, we could regurgitate the show. I could do a regurge Willie every single day, but every now and again, we'd like to drop some original content on there and see how that kind of works. And guess what? If nobody likes it and people only want to hear
numbers, don't lie, cuz
numbers don't lie. You want to see the regurge Willie? We'll do a regurge Willie.
Here's what we got. So it's Seth and I, and we're doing like a podcast in our little podcast world. And if it does well, then we'll keep doing them. If it sucks, we'll just keep rehashing our other stuff, and it'll suck because it'll just be a big wall of suckness.
Yeah, exactly. We'll find what sucks the least, though, and we'll get it rolling.
So since this is unlike any forum we are on, and we can probably be a little more reckless.
Yeah, and rugged.
And maybe honest. You know, I would for, you know.
Oh, no, we're not talking politics, are we?
No.
Oh, okay.
Fuck no.
Okay, just making sure.
Fuck politics.
Okay.
I don't give it. I'm going to go on record by saying I don't give a fuck.
Right. I would just like to say, and this isn't you, this is just, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. I'll just say, I don't care what you think about politics. So I won't push my agenda on you.
I don't want it, your agenda, and you don't want my agenda.
Yeah, don't even try to tell me what you care about because I don't care.
Yeah. So here's what I do care about. Our dynamic that we have. And call me a sensitive little bitch, but I've gotten to know you pretty good since, like, January.
Yeah.
I mean, no, for real.
Yeah, like, of course.
Like, we're kind of friends.
Yeah.
Like.
We are.
Like, I mean, I don't know how close you and some of your other co-hosts became.
I stopped talking. I mean, that was one of the things with Drew that he talked to me about, was that he said he felt like we stopped becoming friends. And I'm just like, I'm not a hangout guy. Like, you and I are friends, but we don't hang out.
We don't hang out at all.
No.
But I, like. You know,
and some people.
I hate to say this, but I like you.
I like you. Okay.
And I understand how fucked up you are. I really do.
Okay. Well,
I think I am a little bit more fucked up than you, but I hide it a little bit better. Or I might be. I think I might be more rugged about being fucked up than you.
No, I think that you're dialed in on what you take for your fucked upness, but I think that you have, you know, 15 years on me of dealing with it.
Yeah.
So I think that you've realized.
More of a veteran of the fuck up.
Well, I think you've realized, you know, probably when you were 38, I don't think you realized, you know, that you might have been quote unquote fucked up.
Like, oh, when I was 38, I was fucking rolling.
Right. Now at 38, here's me at 38. I'm fucked up. I'm not rolling, but at least I'm aware that I'm fucked up. So I try to do, you know, when things happen, like now I went to fucking Bubba. It's been a whole thing with my mental state, especially lately.
I'm not trying to get into
no,
that.
No, I know. I'm just
I'm
saying.
I'm trying to like fuck you up more than you're already fucked up. I'm just saying I feel like something has changed a little bit. Like you're mad about something that we've normally would have maybe talked about, but I've not been able to find out what's making you mad.
No. I mean, I'm just.
I may have, like, you know.
No.
Blitz might have made you mad or somebody.
No. I feel like Blitz hates me.
Hey, listen, join the crowd.
Okay.
I mean, like, for real.
I know.
He hates me,
I
too.
I don't want to.
It's not healthy. I don't know why I put up with it, but he hates me, too.
I don't want him to hate me. I want him
to like me, too.
Yeah. That's why I want to work in an environment where I, like, you know.
I just wish he would be nicer.
I don't even care about being nice. I wish you didn't hate me, but I do I fuck some things up, you know, around here on a technical side, and it falls on him. So I understand. I think I might hate me too. But no, I am just. It was just this fucking. I don't talk about this a lot because I don't really care. But
but we're talking about whatever you're getting ready to talk about.
A handful of people have sent it to me, and I just about Manson going on a fucking podcast and talking shit. Like I didn't. I always enjoyed. You know,
that's got you tore up.
No. Not tore up. I'm not tore up at all.
Like, what was he? Well, he made fun of me the most.
No, I know. It just. I'm just saying to even just have my name come out of your mouth to even just say anything. Like the guy tried to get a job with Calta. He was hanging out with them. Like he can't get a gig anywhere. Like nobody watches his shit, and for him to talk shit about me, like he's mad at you because the show's still thriving without him. Like, don't be mad at me.
I'm the first one to fucking always want to fight and respond, but that guy is so fucking desperate and out of gas, and we are on such the right side of stuff right now that it absolutely. Here's a guy that used to try to calm me down and not respond to you know haters and trolls,
right,
and take the high road and stay an even course like I have with him, and he's completely off the fucking rails on everything.
And I get it. I get bitterness, and you're with people for a long time. These are relationships. I've got a lot of pent-up stuff with, you know, people that I used to be around at Cox, you know, for 18 years that I didn't even feel until years later. But, like, to bring my name up, to even say anything about me, like, this guy can't get a job anywhere. He was absolutely nothing without you, and all he's doing is swinging from your residual nuts. And I just think to even mention me, it's just like, dude, you got to move on.
Here's what I understand. He wants to bring up how many years he worked for me, and he insinuates that I needed him. And he was the only guy that was doing anything. He was the only guy who was the most talented guy. He was the best there ever fucking was. We did some great radio, and it's true, we did.
Yeah.
But I don't need you. You need me. If you could just fucking, I don't know where he got all egotistical all of a sudden, because he was never that way. I guess as you get, you know, if you get desperate and stuff.
Well, I can tell you what.
You start fucking lobbing, you know, Doug Flutie type fucking Hail Marys, and I ain't buying it.
I think it's, you know, you always propped Manson up, and he was always obviously an integral part of the show. I think you always held him in higher regard than Brent and Spice, at least for what you did on air, right? I mean, like you needed him more. So, I mean, I just, no takeaway there, but I don't understand, you know, where all the stuff is coming from or what he's trying to get out of it, because like Cheap Heat and all that stuff, like a couple of clicks.
He's desperate,
a couple
buddy.
Of clicks and a couple of follows, like that's not going to get you anywhere.
He's desperate. And meanwhile, my numbers don't lie. I keep a very detailed list of the money we make, the money the business makes, the salary, the payroll, the light bill, fucking water bill,
yeah,
the insurance, the mortgage, the payroll tax, you know, employee comp, you know, everything. I know everything to the dollar.
You got me on that little bump for the podcast deal, right? I got that little extra bump in the pay.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to, okay.
Yeah, I got all
just
that.
Just making sure, man.
You always get your bonuses when I say you're going to get like, I should absolutely amaze you. It's like, man, Bubba actually.
You're great.
You got some good shit going
on.
No,
you're very good at handling.
I'm actually a better manager than people think, but because I'm so fucking shot out on the air that you guys don't realize that I can, you know, be good at some other stuff.
Let me say something before. I know we're in the middle of a Manson thing, but I didn't even want to talk about it that much. Can I just say something? I'm going to say this on the podcast, and I know that you're going to get mad, but I don't care. I would like I came in at fucking, I don't know, I get here at like 5:45. Sometimes Blitz is in here talking to Bubba. Sometimes Bubba's in here alone. And it was like one morning, and I was just, and I know the scumbags of the fucking army are going to come back and use this against me, but I was having a fucking rough day, and I was having some fucking financial issues, and I was fucking talking to Bubba about it. Just get it off my chest. You know, he'll listen to me while he's prepping the show. I know I'm annoying him, but I would just like to say that later on that day, Bubba fucking sent me money and just, I don't know, called it a bonus. I told him that he could take it out of my paycheck and shit, but like, That's the kind of person that I work for. And I know, like you said, people wouldn't know what kind of manager you are, but I mean, you sent me a note with like how much you appreciate me, and that was just so out of the blue and unexpected. And I know that you don't want to talk about it. It's probably making you uncomfortable, but I at least want to let people know that you take care of your people. I think that you always have, and sending me that, I mean, just solidified that. So I'm sure you always took care of Manson as well.
Well, I mean, for 2 years, from in 2005, in 2004 and 2005, we got fired in February, March of 2004. Well, Tom Bean negotiated that I got 2 years' salary for which was about $45,000
to not work.
To I'll just tell you, I'll give you the numbers. It was about $45,000 a month for 2 years that Clear Channel iHeart had to pay me.
God.
So I took $5,000 and gave to Brent, and took $10,000 and gave to Manson for all of remaining 2004 and all of 2005. I tried to pay Spice Boy, but he stayed on with iHeart Clear Channel.
Okay.
And so I paid Manson $10,000 a month. He doesn't tell you that. I paid for his health insurance, his family health insurance, and his health insurance, and $10,000 a month for nearly 2 years so that I didn't lose him to the industry, so to speak.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all.
And so it just things that he's been saying, and he makes it like we're over here on. I mean, we actually pay our bills, our mortgage, our payroll through Twitch. A Twitch alone. Our Twitch has been so good to us, and it hurts me to see him this desperate. Because he was always the calm, cool, collected one that was calming me down. I was the Seth shot out of a cannon guy, and he was trying to calm me down. Don't always take the high road. Don't, you know, don't let him know. And now he's that guy.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I just think if you guys have your thing, I get it. But, I mean, like, I don't know if I've ever even met him. So for him to even say that I'm a radio reject or anything like that, I was with one company for 18 years and I left on my own, never got fired, and came over here. So, I mean, that's my radio career so far. So
listen, I am a pretty good judge. People can say whatever the fuck I want, but look at everybody that has worked for me that has in somehow, way, shape, or form done well in radio. Spice Boy was a great radio guy. Manson's a great radio guy. I mean, I make everybody, I make good hosts and co-hosts out of people. It's just it's like the Bill Belichick fucking system that I have here with me as the host. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and juggle your nuts all day, but I'm going to juggle your nuts all day by saying you're one of the best co-hosts I've ever had on my show.
Well, I appreciate that. And also, you know, while we're juggling, you know that it's a different dynamic because I didn't start with you. So I know that a lot of people that have been in here in the studio with you have kind of come up, have been interns, you know, that you've had and trusted.
You didn't come from within my, you know,
I
got you as a free agent.
Yeah.
Got you as a highly sought after free agent. And I actually got you when people thought that you were done. And that you were fucking,
I was done.
And that you would make a huge mistake and that you were never be able to do what you know, that you're a fucking flake and that you're never going to be able to do what you're wanting to do. And meanwhile, you couldn't have done what you wanted to do with a multiplier of five more than you've done.
That is true. That is actually true. You were correct.
I mean, they never thought you'd be the main pod. You would be the official podcast of the Lightning. They laughed at you. They're like, this guy's absolutely insane.
No, they did not know what podcasts were. Keith Lawless asked if people listen to podcasts when I told them I wanted to get into podcast production. And I'm not going to lie, I tried to find jobs in, you know, all over the place, you know, with podcast production. And then, you know, luckily, I didn't want to ever leave St. Pete, and I fell into it here. I fell into it with the Lightning. You got me a job. You know, I do stuff with another podcast called The Big Three Roll Up. And I heard
those guys are killing it.
They're killing it. They're having a grand opening, this place called The Kush House, next week, where they got studios and it's an event space, and I mean they're killing it. They make 70 grand a year off their podcast. So I mean they're doing some things, and I just to get involved with them and forward thinkers, like people that are on these, people that are on Twitch, YouTube, podcasts, like those are people that are ahead of the game. It doesn't seem like that to us or maybe to you listening, but those are people that are ahead of the content game. So
and we actually are lucky enough to have, you know, our own facility where we can do and probably need to do a lot more of this stuff, because not everybody has this.
Oh, yeah, we have to. I mean, I know right now you're like, why are we doing this? We're not getting paid. We're not doing anything.
I'm not saying shit. I'm having fun with my friend.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's probably, it might be
what... That's you. That's you saying
No, I feel
your inner voice saying, why am I doing this? I'm not getting paid. You're Mr. Johnny. You're like Johnny Kemp getting paid.
That's my outer Blitz. I feel like Blitz is like, why are these assholes fucking talking to themselves for no fucking reason when they can do this on Twitch and make us some fucking money?
Well, we got some more water. We're going to have to splinter it out a little bit, you know, like to splinter this out.
No, I know. I'm not trying to do this all the time.
No, I think we need to do it. I like Mondays.
That's fine.
I mean, for real, like,
that's
all we do is bullshit about what we've got going on and bitch about stuff.
No problem. Let's do it. Let's do it.
How about this? Now, sometimes I feel like I need to, like, ask you questions.
I'm good. I'm good.
That will.
I'm as good as I can be.
No, but
I'm testing out new medications, Bubba. It's great.
You are?
I'm over it, man.
See, I don't think a lot of people, though, because as I've gotten to know you, I kind of understand a little bit of what you've gone through, how it would absolutely make even a strong mental person insane.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not the strongest mental person in the world.
No.
And so I don't know if a lot of people, and if I'm asking a question that's out of bounds, then don't be mad at me for asking.
Right.
Because I think you know that I have a ton of respect for your family.
Does it count as a walkout if it's on a podcast? Look, if I stormed out of the studio.
Yeah.
But what? Okay. Yeah. Right. I'll
think you can
here.
Walk out on podcasts. It's like you can walk out on the next thing.
Okay.
But I don't want to walk out. But I don't think that people know this. And if it's really, really not cool to talk about. But I've heard you talk about it a few times. And I think that it has a lot to do with, you know, your, I wouldn't say your hang-ups or your mentals. But I know that you and your wife had some really, really tough times when you guys, I guess they call that getting pregnant.
Oh,
when
yeah.
You guys were trying to have a children, you had like quite a few bad, like
yeah.
miscarriages and things like that.
Yes.
And that has really screwed with you a lot. And I don't know that people know that. And I don't know that it's cool that I talk about it.
No, it's fine. I mean, I've talked about it before. I think it's one of those things that I didn't talk about. You know, we never talked about it. I never talked about it on the radio. We never talked about any of our losses until we actually had our baby that we have now.
So you got a healthy one.
Yeah, because we didn't, like, I didn't feel like our story was complete, and I just didn't, you know, sometimes, Bubba, I don't know if you've been at this part of your life where you're like, you hear people go like, oh, I wanted to share my story to help other people, and you're like, yeah, right, whatever the fuck. But then you share your story and you realize you help so many other people. So
I think as you get older, you become more kind, and you really do want to help people. Like, you know, you really do. Be like, you know what, if I can tell somebody this story, not about me, but maybe it'll help somebody out, which will maybe help them have a little less pain than I had.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to go through the long, you know, painstaking details of what we went through over a five-year period, but it started, I guess it was 2014. It took us a while to get pregnant. We saw a fertility doctor. Phoebe was 19 months pregnant, and then she was...
Wow, that much?
Yeah, I'm sorry, not 19 months.
19 weeks.
She's 19 weeks. Yeah, I was like 19.
I was gonna say 19 months. That's like...
Jesus, sorry. That's
two, that's two pregnancies and okay. Plus 1 month.
Yeah, so I might have...
2 years pregnant.
I might have to edit that out. Okay, Phoebe was 19 weeks pregnant, and she went to the doctor because she had like back pain, and they thought it was, urinary tract infection. And I had gone with her to all of her appointments, and she was like, just stay home. And she called me from the doctor hysterical saying that... I guess her water was broken and that the baby was coming and that there was nothing that they could do.
And the baby was coming at 19 weeks.
Right. So we got to the doctor that there was nothing they could do. We didn't know what the baby was. I wanted it to be a surprise. She gave birth. I guess you would call that stillborn. So,
right.
So that was a boy.
And hold on. Think about how you weren't there, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so
I was.
You were?
I was there when she gave birth.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you weren't there, think about how much more drama she has had to go through. I didn't know you were there, but if your significant other went by herself and, you know, you didn't even go through that where she then had to see a stillborn, that would be
no.
Worse.
So just to whip through the story again. So obviously dealt with that. That was the first one. That was by far the worst thing that ever happened again. So we found out what her issue was. She had an incompetent cervix kind of thing, which it means you can't hold like the weight of the baby.
Right.
So we had to go see a fertility doctor, did the fertility treatments. Boom. We find out she's pregnant. But we find out that she's pregnant with twins. As we get into that process, we find out that she can't get a surgery for her condition because they can't do it for twins. So essentially, we had to go through a pregnancy just hoping.
Did they have to get rid of those babies?
No. They,
did she lose those babies naturally?
Yeah, we lost those babies at 21 weeks.
Okay.
So.
So
we didn't know. Like, we knew the condition, but, like, there was nothing that they could do. And we went to the doctor all the time. Like, they're measuring her cervix and stuff like that. So, like, everything was fine. And then you get to a certain point where the cervix starts to shrink. And then you're like, and then it gets to a point where, like, it's almost gone. And those are the points where they rush us to the hospital.
Was Sethi three?
She's three right now, yeah.
No, not 3 years old, buddy. Was she the third?
No.
There was more.
So they checked us into the hospital. So all you can do, Bubba, in that situation when the cervix starts to shrink is go on bed rest and essentially prop Phoebe up on her head, like tip her back so the babies just try to stay inside.
Yeah, because her insides aren't strong enough to keep them from falling out,
which
so
is
to
like
speak.
You see, like it's 2000 and whatever, and like this is the best that we
this
have
is the
so
best they got. That's just to make they have to like have her lay inverted.
So I'll say this,
right?
So Phoebe was in the hospital for a week and then they thought the babies were coming and they moved her down to labor and delivery, which is they think the babies are coming, and she was in labor and delivery for a week. She held on as long as she could and gave birth to a boy and a girl that did not make it. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. So,
then what?
So after that, we decided that we were going to do, one more time. We were able to,
cause Phoebe has to be going through hell at this point.
Yeah. I mean, this is over the course of a few years, obviously,
right. But you're like, okay, we're gonna try one more time.
So we're like, we're going to do one more time. So they did the surgery. Incompetent cervix. Yes. Our doctor, Dr. Coulter, did the surgery. Everything's okay. We're feeling awesome. Like, okay, perfect. This is going to work this time.
You get her pregnant.
No, she was already pregnant when he did it.
Oh, so you get her pregnant and then they do the surgery.
You tie it up and it's like, boom, locked in Willie. It's like you'd like tie up the cervix and all this stuff and then boom.
All right, so you get her pregnant and then they have to go in and kind of like
do the procedure.
Secure the cervix.
Right.
So that the cervix won't break and the baby won't come out.
That's what they did. So the doctor goes in there, does that. We're like, oh my God.
Is it a pretty major deal?
No, it's fine. Yeah, it was fine. So they did it like, you know, in a day. Okay, great. It's done. We're all feeling good. Going to the doctor and then all of a sudden it's called a cerclage. And we go to the doctor, and her cerclage is broken. It broke, and she has to go to the hospital, and the doctor has to make a decision and ask us either I have to go in here and try to fix the cerclage, which could start premature birth, or we just leave it, you know, and risk everything that's happened so far. So we were like, we have to risk this. So what the doctor went in there, he fixed the cerclage. He said everything was great. And then about a week later, she went into labor, and we lost a baby girl at 23 weeks.
Oh, so that was three.
That's four.
Yeah, twin. Okay.
Yeah, twins.
Then a boy, girl.
Yeah.
And now this one. And this was the one with the surgery.
This is one with the surgery.
Oh, my Lord. I never knew about this.
Yeah, this was the one with the surgery. So,
that was a baby girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we were done after that.
Yeah.
Were done. We started going through adoption, found a St. Pete adoption agency. I know I paid $1,500. Like, adoption's so expensive, Bubba. I mean, I'm sure you haven't ever looked into it.
But I know people that have adopted, and
they make it really hard.
75, 80, 90, 100 grand.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't have that kind of money whatsoever.
No.
This was essentially what, so a lady comes over to our house one night and she's like, okay, I have a potential kid. The mother's in prison right now, and she has hepatitis, and the kid could have hepatitis, and, you know, I'm like, okay. And after the lady leaves our house that night, Phoebe just looks at me and she's like crying and she's like, this isn't what we want. Yeah. So she does her research.
You want a prison baby with a side order of hep?
I mean, I get it. Like, I know it. This was what we wanted to adopt, but
kid might switchblade you.
I mean, it hit Phoebe in a different way, you know? So Phoebe starts doing her research and finds a doctor in Chicago that specializes in a cerclage, and it's called an abdominal cerclage, which a lot of doctors locally don't do. And what he does is, obviously, it's a surgery. He goes through your abdomen, and he locks up your cervix forever. So nothing can ever come out. And what happens is you have to get a C-section when you are ready to give birth. So
it's not coming through the cervix because the cervix done been locked. Because
he locked up Willie. So Phoebe tells me about this guy, has a consultation, and Bubba, I'm checked out. I'm ready to adopt. I don't want to go through this again. And I feel like it's irresponsible because of the babies that we've lost. I feel like it's irresponsible to do that again to us, to a baby.
They've been through four times.
I was like, we've tried every way to do this, and we can't. It's not happening, you know? And Phoebe agreed. And then she comes to me, and she's like, I had a consultation with this doctor. She's like, I want to go do this. So
how much that cost you?
I started serving. I asked for a raise at work. I couldn't get a raise. I believe Drew went to the boss and asked for a raise for me and got completely shot down. I had to start working at Kawa, a coffee place. I would go in there at 5 a.m. and I'd serve coffee and all that stuff. And then I would go home, shower, and then go to the bone and start prepping and working on Drew's show. So I picked up another job to pay for the surgery. So we go see this guy's name's Dr. Haney in Chicago, and he comes out, and I just saw somebody from Saudi Arabia. He's like, people come and see me from all over the world. And this guy, talk about swagger. This guy had more swagger than Dr. Dan. You know, much older, but like this guy goes, I've never lost a baby. He looked at me, he's like, I can tell. You don't believe me. And I go, everybody's told us that we're going to be fine. I go,
we're 0-4 right now, Doc.
I was like, everybody told us we're going to be fine. I go, I want to believe you. I go, I can't. He's like, it's all right. He's like, I've seen this before. He's like, I've never lost a baby. And we have a three.
You didn't.
We have a 3-year-old now. So I think
people don't know that about, you know, that's trying. I mean, you know, I hate to say losing four kids, but. You know, going through that process three times with four kids.
Yeah, listen,
I mean, it fucks people up.
Bubba, check this out. I mean, this is so we ended up telling our story, and somehow somebody heard a podcast that Phoebe and I did about this and sent it to a football player's wife. His name is Marquise Goodwin. He plays for the Eagles right now. Sent it to his wife because she had lost. It was very public. She had lost babies the same way that Phoebe had. And sent this podcast to Marquise Goodwin's wife. Marquise Goodwin's wife ended up going and seeing the same Dr. Phoebe
did. Same Chicago Willie.
Same Dr. Phoebe did. And now they have a daughter, an NFL player.
Have you got a hold of the guy?
I have not, but Phoebe met his wife.
Oh, cool.
Her name is Morgan Goodwin. They met when she was in Tampa. They came for the Buccaneers game last year, and Phoebe went and had coffee with her while she was pregnant. So the fact that we told their story, then they sent a podcast to somebody, and I'm just, you know, it could help anybody, but I'm just bringing up a name of this guy's in the NFL, and so
that's kind of cool.
It helped people, yeah. So that's why I felt good about, you know, finally telling our story. So
anyway,
yeah, why people call me a big. I know I'm a big pussy and stuff, and all that.
No,
shit,
you're not.
I know.
No, you're not. But you have been a little off this week, and I kind of understand now that I think it's about this Manson stuff.
It's not that. I mean, that's just stupid shit. But I'm just saying, like, there's always stuff going on. It's like for me, and I know people will just call me, you know, not that there's anything wrong with this, and I know he's probably listening. Like, people will just call me like Tuttle because I admit that I'm on medication, and that's fine. I think people that are depressed or have anxiety, I think it's okay to.
I think anybody that calls you Tuttle just truly doesn't understand what they're saying, and
but everybody's mental stuff's different, you know. So
what do they call me? I mean, I've had the ability lately to tune it all out. I don't really get into it too much.
Yeah. No, it's not anything bad. I'm just saying, like, I'm always very open with who I am. Like, that's just, I don't have anything to hide, so.
Well, one of these, maybe next podcast, the next Seth and Bubba. I think we should call it Seth and Bubba because it gives you top billing.
No, I don't want, there's no way I should ever get top billing on something with you.
Yeah, but that's the cool, like, the guy that should get top billing doesn't want top billing, and he's giving it to the guy that should get second billing.
I don't want your charity top billing.
But it's not charity. It's my inner feelings. It's how I really feel. I want to prop you to the top.
Everybody wants to prop me to the top. Just prop me up with some kiss ash.
We have to figure out what we're going to call this thing.
This is, I'll figure it out. Don't worry.
So, but listen. I think that we need to save the next one we do for your kind of your bone stuff, because I think I kind of got you sidetracked with little baby Phoebe today.
Oh yeah, sorry about
with
that.
A Manson appetizer with a baby fever of a baby Phoebe baby Phoebe full course.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make it like a whole thing. I just was I don't have it. I hopefully it helps somebody, and that's just a little bit of backstory that I don't think. We would go into
I don't think a lot of people know that about you, and I think that the average guy that said some really bad stuff about you doesn't really quite know you.
Well, that's fine. And you
don't know me, bitch.
Well, and I get that. The whole you don't know me thing, people are going to take what they hear on the radio, and that's all well and good. Look, if my story could help anybody, that's great. Look, Bubba, I always just thought you had sex and you had a kid. Like, I just thought it worked like that. Like, it was trouble getting Phoebe pregnant, had to go through a lot of stuff and then all this. So, I mean, it's not that easy.
Was she kicking it out wide more often when you were trying to get pregnant?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was probably seed me.
Well, there were days where we had to,
Did she ever say seed me?
No. Oh. No, that's disgusting. Oh. Oh, Bubba, what the fuck? Is that what women say?
Breed me.
That's what
breeding is. That's what you're doing is you're breeding.
But is that
you?
Dirty talk?
I think so.
Seed me?
Breed me? Seed me?
No, she would. The only thing...
Isn't breed me dirty talk, or is that just technical talk?
Baby, I don't know, but...
Breed me.
I'm getting turned on either way.
Breed me!
Okay,
What if Phoebe was saying, oh, honey, breed me. Breed me. I mean, you did breed her,
I guess I did, yeah, I did. I did. I hope that wouldn't happen, Spongeo.
That's our new show. breed me.
Motherfuck, this is where I feel like I need your AC/DC music to hit in.
Yeah, fuck it.
I got to run out of it.
I don't know, but is that a podcast? I mean, is that a podcast royalty violation if you play music?
No, not at all.
I mean, if I go, I don't even know if that I'm, hold on. There you go.
No, we're good.
We're not going to get a cease and desist.
No, I play full songs on my other podcast. I don't, thank you so much. We had scheduled sex, so she'd be like, we have to have sex today, you know?
Breed me.
Wore me out.
If Hal Hotter would have been, she would have said, honey, today you're supposed to breed me.
Really fucking hot.
Isn't that hot?
Yeah, it's so hot.
I mean, you can't go wrong with breed me.
I just jizzed!
Breed me.